Before today's interview with Craig, I wanted to give a quick plug for a new project I'm working on. One aspect that we share as veterans is that, unfortunately, nearly all of us have lost someone close to us. I've lost two close friends in my lifetime, and in each case, the value of my memories with them, the photos, videos, and stories, all became like lifelines, monuments to these men who meant so much to me. I've thought about this off and on for the last 10 years, about memories, stories, and legacy. With an 11-month-old son, I think about that even more. I want my son to know the stories of my parents and grandparents. I want him to know them and who they are in the same way that I do. And so I'm starting a new project. I don't have a website or a name, but I do have an intention to help people capture the important stories and lessons from those they love most. I've done over 333 interviews with Beyond the Uniform, but I've never applied that same curiosity to my loved ones. And so I'm starting with my family, capturing my parents' story on audio, not for a podcast, not for the world, but for myself, for my brothers, and one day for my son. I'd love to extend this invitation to you and your family as well, to capture the stories that make them who they are. Preserve them in a way that you and your family can listen to and keep them with you. This is still all a big experiment at this point, but if it excites you, go to beyonduniform.org/memories, where I'll post more information. I'm seeking feedback, and I'm seeking the first people to work with. That'll be at beyonduniform.org/memories. Thanks, and enjoy today's episode with Craig. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my mission is to help members of the military community thrive in their post-service life. Today's episode number 339, Purpose Mapping with Craig Feilich.
I think the main thing is find what lights you up. Find the thing. It's, you know, because purpose is an experience, right? This is it. This is what I was born to do. And when you're having that experience, there's no questions. There's no inner critic. There's no, the next action step is crystal clear, right? Figure out what that is as soon as you can, and then reevaluate everything in your life based on, does it support me doing this or not?
Many of the guests I've had on the show talk about their struggle to find a new purpose after they leave the military. I struggled with this as well, but spoiler alert, that doesn't end when you leave the military. I'm 39 right now, I've been out of the Navy for over 10 years, and I've been working on this same question for the last several months. That's what actually led me to today's guest, Craig. Craig and I met through John Wineland's Embodied Men's Leadership Training. That's the year-long men's program I've talked about before on Beyond the Uniform. We were in the same small group of seven people, which meant we've spent hundreds of hours together this last year. However, it wasn't until recently that I discovered Craig's superpower, which is helping people find their purpose. Today's interview is different because Craig and I have spent about 4 hours together over the last several weeks working on helping me clarify my purpose and current mission in life. We actually rolled right into this interview after an hour together of some pretty heavy-duty work together. I deeply believe in the importance of this process, of finding one's purpose, of having clarity about what one is seeking in life. I believe in it for myself and for our audience. So you can view today's episode as part one of a much bigger offering. Craig and I will be co-hosting a 90-minute webinar about purpose mapping, where you'll get a worksheet and make significant headway towards refining your purpose in life. If you sign up for our webinar, either to attend live or to watch the recording after the fact, we're also going to send you a variety of videos from my own work on finding my own purpose. I'll give you an honest look at what this process has looked like for me. It hasn't been easy, but honestly, the weeks since Craig and I met have been incredible. There's a lightness in being closer to identifying what my mission is right now, of being able to say no to things more easily and yes to things where otherwise might be hesitant. Be sure to sign up for the webinar if you're at all interested in this topic. There'll be links in the show notes for this episode, as well as on the events page of beyonduniform.org if you're listening to this in real time, or in the on-demand webinar section of our website if you're listening to this in the far distant future. Craig and I are collaborating on a lot more in this arena, and the best way to stay abreast of that journey as it unfolds is by registering for the webinar. As always, thanks to all of you who are helping us spread the word about Beyond the Uniform. One of the best ways to do that is by leaving a review on iTunes. Special thanks to JGP2010, who recently left this review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Beyond the Uniform has been a jumpstart to my transition networking. I find episodes with topics that pique my curiosity, listen to the podcast as I drive between meetings or appointments on base, then go on LinkedIn, follow the company, and follow the individual interviewed. The podcast interview itself also gives me something to mention if I choose to send them a message. I can comment on something I found interesting about their interview as a conversation starter. It is a very simple tactic that has helped me expand my network and is made possible by Justin's variety of individuals and topics featured on the show. I highly recommend this podcast and the resources featured to active duty service members, military spouses, etc. Thank you so much for that great review, and what an awesome tactic for networking. I hope others adopt that as well. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Craig. Joining me today in North Bay, California, my guest is Craig Feilich. Craig, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So I will read Craig's bio in a second, which I usually do, but I want to add in some extra information for listeners. So I know Craig from the Embodied Men's Leadership Training with John Wineland. Not only were we in the group of 55 men for that for the last year, but we were in the same small group, which means that for pretty much every week, we've been meeting in some form and chatting and sharing some very personal things about our lives and who we are. In addition to that, I do a morning writers group on Zoom, and I'm not always there, but often there, and Craig will be there many times. I do a morning daily practice online, and Craig is often there. And in addition to all of that, Craig and I, over the last couple of weeks, have spent over 4 hours together working on my own purpose mapping. And so we've been spending quite a lot of time together. And Craig, it's been awesome seeing you in that light of you doing something that you have mastery around and that you have very clear purpose for your own life with. And it was awesome to see you after all that time together, to see you in a new way as teacher, as leader, as mentor, as confidant. So it's really exciting to have you on the show.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked to be here and looking forward to diving in with you. It's been a blast.
Awesome. So for listeners, I want to give a quick background on Craig. He is a father, a depth coach, and highly attuned facilitator, bringing over 20 years of experience in transformative men's work, shadow work, and authentic relating to the unique process for radically clarifying your purpose, making a powerful contribution, and stepping into your flow. Enriched by a decade of applied study in Ken Wilber's Integral Philosophy and a founding member of the Integral Center in Boulder, Colorado, Craig's work is informed by the factors that precipitate growth and development in human systems. Craig's 15-year entrepreneurial career has carried him from being an unemployable philosophy major with an unplanned child to building a company from 2 to 22 people and $1.5 million a year in just under 3 years. Along the way, he churned through a dozen false starts because the businesses were not authentic for him. So Craig, maybe to start things off, anything to add to or amend to that bio?
Oh man. The words that come to mind are master of self-reinvention. Mm. And, you know, when I think typologically, and I'm big in personality profiling systems, not that I think they're the end all be all, but, you know, the work that I do is let's look at this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. And what are they all saying in common? That's what I'm interested in. The rest can just, you know, blow away like dust in the wind. But typologically, I'm very similar to, you know, when David Bowie died, I remember seeing a meme going around of like all of the iterations of his, you know, his face and his hair and his makeup and whatever. And it was just like, wow, this guy's had like 50 lives in one life. That's my type. So often a phoenix rising from the ashes experience, which has been brutal in the early years. But once I kind of got who I am and how I'm wired, and that's just natural, and it's actually really healthy for my type, I went with it. And at one point my claim to fame was I've tanked more little businesses than most people dream of starting in a lifetime. And there's just no way I was going to be able to stop that process from happening. What's interesting is that now what I do in serving people with all of the knowledge and skills that I've accumulated over, let's call it 25 years of men's work, reading over 1,000 books, investing, I'm pushing like $300,000 in personal growth and development trainings over the last several decades. I've distilled it all down into a very simple, systematic process and framework for self-awareness and decision-making based on what's aligned and congruent for you. And so doing that for myself is allowed me to just surrender into it. And I haven't had to reinvent myself, at least professionally, in a while. It seems to be working, and it keeps me invigorated, and I just love it. So it's been a blast to take you through it. And we're kind of riding off the heels of your session. So I'm still kind of amped and used up. Nice.
I love it. What I like about your story and what you just shared is, I felt this, and I know that many of the guests I've had on from the military, there's this need to get it right. There's a lot of, especially for the first transition from the military to starting a completely new career, there's a lot of fear about making a mistake and a lot of pressure to find the right answer. And what you shared from your story, it's definitely true in my own life. Like a lot of these, what could be considered false starts or failed career changes or whatever else, there, you know, you can definitely view them from a perspective where, yeah, sure, there's a failure component there. And you're learning, like you said with David Bowie, like you're learning something, you're gaining something, and all of those pieces can add up to inform you in finding something great or finding something. That's what I loved about your bio. Like these businesses weren't authentic for you. Alignment matters a lot to me. And I see times of my life where I've not been in alignment with my values or who I am. And it just, it doesn't feel good. I'm not going to do my best work in that situation. And so what I love about the vulnerability of your story and your bio is like that willingness to experiment and dabble and take great risks. And maybe not all of them are home runs, but they certainly inch you closer to something that's much better than where you started out.
Yeah. You know, I learn by failing forward. And I think there's actually a book by that title that, you know, by John Maxwell, who's a brilliant leadership coach. And and once I got that, like, that's actually a thing, I was like, well, let's go all in on that, you know? Yeah. And it's been, and it's not that I just, you know, dragged myself through a bunch of failures. It was, you know, learning how to flip houses and making $30,000 in a weekend, you know, and that changes you. Like you can't make $30,000 in a weekend and look at like the last several years of making $25,000 for the whole year and being like, okay, some, you know, it's a whole new awareness of money and self potential. So I did it again just to prove that it wasn't a fluke to myself. And I was just emotionally exhausted for months after both of those experiences. And I just said, you know, this is clearly not for me. Mm-hmm. Other people can do that 2, 3, 4 times in a month and they love it. And it's a flow state for them. And then they package it and they get on stage and hype, hype, hype. And you can do it too. Mm-hmm. And I used to sit in rooms of 3,000 people and 500 would run to the back with their credit cards in their hand, trying to get the deal with all the bonuses and the limited this and the limited that. And I'm watching them. And this is back when it was CDs and binders and, you know, cassette tapes and all this. And I'm thinking like, okay, 80-20, right? 80% of these people are never even going to open the wrapping on the thing that they buy. Of the 20% that do, 80% are never actually going to do anything with it. Of that 4% that actually do something with it, you know, 4%, like the 0.8% of this whole thing, right? The 4% of 4% of 4% that actually make it work, great for them. And I could make it work through willpower and muscling and just following the system. And yeah, the blueprint is great, sure, but it's bad for me, right? It's like a bad diet or a bad, you know, I'm a yogi. I don't belong doing high intensity interval training, right? So it's getting clear on what's right for me. And I think in the military, I mean, I haven't been in the military, but my understanding from talking to many, many people who have is you kind of get stuck in a box and that's it. And those are your options. Right. Mm-hmm. So the authenticity for many of us being a core value, at some point that becomes the priority in any career track, and you have to make a decision. What are you going to base your livelihood on? Mm-hmm. And if it's something that sucks the wind out of your sails and leaves you feeling stagnant, depressed, and compensating with behaviors, perhaps substances, you know, activities that are just even more depleting, that downward spiral is a recipe for disaster for yourself, mm-hmm. your family, your legacy, and ultimately the world, because that's not why you came here. That's not what you were born for. So for me, it's about helping people who find themselves in enough pain to say, I will do whatever it takes to find my clarity, to find my confidence that I can make a contribution, and then just take one tiny step towards doing that every day. And before you know it, your life starts to look like that first Bitcoin curve of $8. $8, nothing's happening. Oh, 80, ooh, 800, oh, 8,000. Like, what is going on here? It's a bit, it feels superhuman. The dopamine and oxytocin and serotonin that produces creates an awareness of our capacity, of our full potential, that I think most people want conceptually. But this is like the quickest route I've found to actually experience that exponential curve in our lives. So all of that to say, in the mistakes, in the pain, in the confusion and frustration, and you know, for me, it was just failure after failure after failure. I have mined so much gold, and in the hero's journey, we go in, face the dragon, and reclaim the elixir of life to bring that back for our people, our community, our family, our tribe. And I feel like I've done that sufficiently that now I've got the thing that keeps me self-renewing, because every client is a new adventure, a new journey for me, and it's still alive, and I just love it so much. So that's been my story to get here, mm-hmm. and I'm curious to see where it goes from here.
What I love about that is, so one of the things I appreciate, well, for listeners, we'll get into what all this work is. I know we're kind of talking about it, but what I love about seeing you in your zone, in your element, leading me through, you know, countless hours together now, helping me uncover my purpose, you draw from a lot. You've got a lot, you've got a great vocabulary, you've got great, you know, in the videos from your website, and the you've got great pop culture references, great references for literature, great references for science, for business. Like, you draw from so much. And so, you know, getting a little bit more about your story here, it's exciting for me, because it's like, yeah, from one limited time viewpoint, I could see at different points in your life where you would feel like a frequent career shifter or a failure or different things. And from the lens that I see you now, it's like, wow, I see all the different ways that you were building up skills, you were building up vocabulary, you were building up things to relate to clients. And it's like, it's kind of cool to be on the other side here now with you and look back and be like, man, there was so much prepping you for the work you're doing now. And I can only imagine at different points, you know, you certainly didn't have that clarity every step of the way. And I bring that up to name that for you, but also for listeners of like, look, You never know the failed investment banking 2 years you do. Maybe that's some crazy skill that you use for financial modeling, for whatever it is you do next. Like, we never know the little pieces that lead to where we're going. And the other piece that I'll just throw out for listeners, I'm 39. I'm now, oh man, almost 15 years out of the military. This work with Craig has been insanely helpful for me. And I do a lot of personal development work, and this is like very, very unique in the things I've done. Very, very illuminating for my own purpose. I do think that we, and I'm sure we'll speak to this, but we uncover our purpose and it changes. And you and I have talked about that, how we're constantly revisiting this worksheet that we're doing together. And so I want to throw this out for listeners. Like, if you're in the military and you're about to get out, yeah, that's a big transition. Purpose is big there. I've been out for a long time, and it's still that niggling question of getting more, like a heat-seeking missile, getting more clarity and closer to the mark. So even if you've been out for 20 years, I think there's something in our conversation that's going to benefit you.
Yeah, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a story that I just find so delightful, where you know, this venture capitalist had invested in a CEO, and he, you know, $25 million, and he went, you know, the company and tanked, and the CEO walked into the venture capitalist office and handed him his letter of resignation, and his head was down, and the venture capitalist says, what is this? And he says, I'm deeply sorry. I lost $25 million of your money, and I just am so ashamed and embarrassed. And, I want to take you off the hook for any obligation to me. I'm going to tuck my tail between my legs, and I'm going to go and figure out something else to do with my life. And the venture capitalist said, are you crazy? I just invested $25 million in training you. Mm. You're not going anywhere.
Mm. I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, let's maybe to set the stage, talk to us, what is, actually, let's back up before we even get into purpose mapping. Yeah. A lot on the show, we talk about having a mission. A lot of veterans have a strong mission in the military, and then many of my guests have talked about the flailing experience of then not having a mission. And because we're going to talk about purpose a lot today, could you maybe set the stage of, like, is there a difference between purpose and mission?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that question. I think, there's an argument for them being the same. And I think almost universally, people conflate the two. It's very rare to see a distinction made. And so I was a philosophy major by training. And the very first thing a good philosopher does is define their terms. What are we even talking about? Right? We can't build an argument for something unless we've got really clear understanding of the basis of that argument. And so if we define purpose as the reason you exist, right? Mission is, it's a project, it's a goal, right? And the reason that's important is because there's an article in the Harvard Business Review called Crisis at the Summit. And it's got this map, it's got this curve where, you know, you start out in something and it's new and it's, like you say, bright, shiny object, and I'm super interested and I'm learning, and it's new people and new skills and new challenges, and you get good at it and you get to the top, and then you kind of plateau. And you know, in a way, it's careful what you wish for. I mean, it's not that I just tanked and, you know, couldn't succeed at these businesses. It's that I succeeded enough to realize this is making me miserable and I don't want this to become part of what I have to do on a regular basis. So they get to the top, and this is where the crisis happens. And that's where they start taking risky activity, whether it's on the company's behalf or outside of the company, you know, cars, motorcycles, women, drugs, alcohol, you know, whatever it is that they get into, and then they go back down. Mm. And that's not really helpful for a family life, for a stable psychology, mm-hmm. right? And so what I've noticed with my clients in particular is that as they get what they set out to achieve, if you're conflating purpose and mission, right, you get to the top of the mountain and it's, I've achieved my purpose. I have accomplished the thing I exist to accomplish. Now, why do I exist? Mm. And this existential tailspin ensues, and it becomes a, can I swear?
Yeah.
It's just a shit show.
Yeah.
Right? And you probably know people that have gone through this. But if your purpose, right, if you're clear on your purpose, the reason you exist, and in order to realize your purpose, to bring it to its highest, fullest self-expression, you choose a goal to get to the top of this proverbial mountain, and you get to the top of the mountain, and you plant your flag, and you say, I have achieved my mission. And you feel the fulfillment of your purpose. And it even clarifies, because the dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin rush gives you this altered state, you know, brain state, where you see with even more clarity at the top of the mountain, right? Oh, and it's even clearer to me why I exist. I want to climb that mountain next, or I want to sail that ocean, or I want to explore that jungle. And now you've got a new mission. and you can take 3 to 5, maybe 10 years to achieve that mission, plant your flag there, bring even more clarity to your purpose. I think it's a very different experience to know why you exist and then set a series of goals that challenge you to realize your purpose than to achieve your purpose, which doesn't make a lot of sense if we're defining our terms that clearly.
I love that. I think one of the benefits I'm feeling in this moment that from doing this work is the, as you kind of guided me through, it felt like archaeology were kind of dusting off the bones and getting, oh, there's like a tailbone there, and going a little bit deeper and starting to get a sense of that purpose. It's freeing, right? It's like there's many aspects that we'll get into it here in a second, but it's freeing and giving myself permission to do the things that are good for me and that feel good, are in alignment. And it's giving myself permission to be honest about, like, okay, these things are out of scope. Like, it's easier for me to say no to these things. And then having that laser accuracy of like, okay, this is my purpose. What is the next step in my mission? What's the, and for listeners, we were doing this just minutes before we got on the podcast here, but it was like literally, okay, what's the action, Justin, that you're taking today to move towards that mission? Okay, what's the action tomorrow? And then getting some homework assignments in place to keep the ball rolling towards that mission. But I love the differentiation of that between, you know, mission and purpose, the purpose that I will be going towards the rest of my life, that it will never fully achieve, but will always be making progress towards.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, there's three levels to the purpose mapping framework. There's the existential level, who am I, why I exist. Which, if you think about that, that's like the engine. That's the thing that drives you, right? It's where all of your power comes from. It's your why. Then there's the strategic level. So existential, strategic, and then tactical. And the strategic level is like the transmission, right? We bring that power down to the runway where you can actually get some traction. So it's vision, you know, purpose is the reason you exist, vision, mission, milestone, clear next action step. And then the tactical is a daily practice for health, wealth, love, and flow, which are like the four wheels on the ground that are being driven, right, through the transmissions by the engine. And when all of those are in alignment, now you're connected to every part of yourself and every part of your day becomes clear. Not that you have to, you know, your whole day is taken up by this, but if you can do a daily practice, like you were saying, like, you know, we practice every morning, Monday through Friday, 30 minutes of, you know, stretching ourselves together. So there's a bit of relational practice there. There's a bit of deep inner work there. There's some body practice there, right? Like I led, you know, a practice of just let's get deep in our bodies and generate some power in there, right? And then the practice of the contribution system, which for me is taking people through the process. For you, it's recording these podcasts and, you know, and helping people that are making this transition, make it a little easier for them. That's your contribution in the world. You do that on a regular basis. It's not your purpose to run a podcast. It's just something you do. It's a good habit that activates your strengths that help you realize your purpose. And so we align that with a mission, a 3 to 5 year big, hairy, audacious goal, a 6 month, you know, 6 week to 6 month near term objective that you could wrap your mind around and focus on that gave each day something thing that you can do, like a, you know, climbing a ladder, a next action step towards the realization of that milestone. And you're still going to do the podcast every week because that's just the system you've got to be running to create the momentum to realize all this. So this is how these things stack together. And you need each piece of it. And, you know, we can get into what the components are, but I just want to say, like, I didn't create 90% of this. I just kind of wove it together because I heard Tony Robbins talking about you need a purpose, and you know, Stephen Covey and Zig Ziglar and Michael Gerber and Robert Kiyosaki and, you know, all the luminaries in this, Nietzsche, you know, if you have a strong enough why, you can overcome any how. They're all pointing at this thing, whatever you call it, it's got to be, the box has to be filled in. And so I just kind of made the minimum viable framework of boxes that have to be filled in to get the access to the power and transmit it down to the daily tactical actions that are going to bring about the dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, you know, and even adrenaline that when we're not producing them endogenously, we go looking for in thrill-seeking, coffee, sugar, God forbid, cocaine, marijuana, LSD, MDMA, you know, these are the toxic mimics that we seek out when we're not getting it from our daily activities and our objectives, because I think we're wired for this. I think this is Maslow, right? We seek self-actualization. And if you read Maslow's notes that are unpublished, but you know, his final sort of thinking on this was, it's not just realizing our full potential, it's self-transcendence. It's then giving it back to the world in a powerful way and making that contribution. And our lives are no longer for ourselves. And I think we all deeply crave to transcend the self, that anxious, like, what am I going to get for myself? What am I going to do today? And how do I, you know, giving from our depth, giving from our deepest gifts, that's what life's about. And so ultimately purpose mapping is a framework too. I love the excavating, you know, archaeologists, like we need to find what's true for Justin.
Yep.
And then put it in these boxes. And then you've got a map that you can use to make choices on the existential, strategic, and tactical levels of your life that will keep you in alignment and will become, it's like a new operating system. And it gives you that chiropractic adjustment of the soul so that you're making aligned decisions that lead to more and more dopamine, oxytocin, and serotonin, or what we call the good life.
I think what listeners who have been in the military or are in the military, one of the things I think that you'll really appreciate about this process and that I appreciate it is the structure. You know, I still enjoy structure, and it's it really is masterful, Craig, the way that you have put this together and the process. And I respect too, you know, we were going through this and there's, you know, we have certain statements and like you really hold the process of like, okay, no, let's do this right. Say that my mission is, my purpose is, and there's a whole structure to this that really works well. It works well together. And I like that. And the other thing that I appreciate is, you know, you do attribute where you get a lot of this content from, and like anyone, you're taking things from everywhere, and that's where the beauty comes in, the baking of all these ingredients into something that's better than the sum of the parts. But what I think the other piece that I think listeners will appreciate about this process is there's things that will be familiar to you, like Myers-Briggs, and there's things that will be very unfamiliar to you. And if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know the incredible benefit of getting out of your comfort zone. And so I think in this curriculum and in this process, there's a good mixture of the familiar, the things that are in your wheelhouse, as well as blending things that, you know, you're like, what is this? This is out of my comfort zone. And let me just say, just personally, it's great. You need all of those. Like if we're just playing in the kiddie pool, just playing in the shallow end, you're not going to get to that deep purpose that's often uncovered by being outside of your comfort zone and being able to tolerate the discomfort. So I love those two aspects for our listeners.
Yeah. And it's literally, I mean, this is what fMRI brain research has shown us. It's literally 4% outside of your comfort zone. 4% beyond what you believe you're capable of. Now, of course, that's a moving target. So it's always 4% beyond. So once you push your threshold, right, it doesn't fully retract. I mean, you might have to, you know, get back into some conditioning and work yourself back up to that edge, but your edge is your edge and it keeps moving. And so you always have to be leaning in. And the signature of that is fear. I could die. This is out of my comfort zone. But that's what kicks in the adrenaline that is the beginning of you know, the neurochemical signature of a flow state. And if we're not getting enough of that, we start drinking too much coffee. We start looking for, you know, I don't know what people get into, but you know, for me, it's too much coffee. If I'm not getting enough, right? And so I have to find the places in my life. Turns out I find it on the road, right? And so I need to be on the road traveling and I hit my flow state on the road so consistently. That it would be an error for me to fail to be on the road at least once a month. I just got back from Santa Barbara. And about 2 hours into that road trip, all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, am I on drugs? What? And I'm like, oh no, I got the right playlist. It's the road. You know, it was like 10:40 at night and the road was wide open and I was in the middle of California on the 101 and I was just cruising and it was like, I can breathe. This is great. But that's a habit. That's not actually like, there's no contribution to the world in that. That's just something I know that I do. I need to find a way to make a contribution that also gives me that experience. And the two together, right, being on the road to go teach purpose mapping, now we got a game.
Yep.
Right? And so cobbling together those pieces and putting them into one framework and realizing what is the right frequency for me and how do I put the pieces together? Because we all know most of this stuff. Yeah, we've got a couple of blind spots that the map will illuminate and you'll go, oh, I didn't know I needed that, right? But a lot of it, it's not going to be surprising. Like, yeah, I've kind of known I wanted to do that, but now you know where it fits and you've got the rest of the pieces of the puzzle to give you a full picture on how to proceed. That's what the framework is ultimately designed to do.
I love that. And I want to ask about insights and stories, but I'm just curious, what else do you want them to know about? We can go as deep as you'd like, but the process or the structure or what purpose mapping is before we go into some more of the insights.
Yeah, I think the main thing that distinguishes my work from everything else I've seen out there, like I said, I read 1,000 books and I've, you know, been in well over $250,000 worth of training and workshops and doing men's work for 25 years, right? This is not my first rodeo with purpose work. It's actually become the thing that I keep coming back to because every time I would take a business, back to the drawing board and there was some new person out there pumping their stuff. And I think the two things I want you to get is, you know, one, it's not about what we name these things, but it's noticing, okay, everybody's talking about, I need something at this level, at the engine level. And I need something at, you know, the why, what, and how, you know, is what Simon Sinek calls it. I don't care what you call it, but you got to have it, right? So let's get it on the map. That's the main thing. And what I was really annoyed by is everybody starting to call it their own proprietary thing because they want you to come buy it from them. But this is like your birthright. We've known this since Greek philosophy. They called it eudaimonia, right? This life where you're just, and this is what positive psychology has brought back in a very structured and researched way. But we've all, you know, got these hunches about it. So the key insight is go after it. It is your birthright. If you're not feeling flow states on a regular basis, you're not feeling that selfless, timeless, effortless experience where you come away feeling like you're just gliding, you know, and like riding the thermals, like, oh, this is it. This is why I was born. Something's amiss and we got some work to do. And which brings me to the other thing I want people to know, which is, you know, shadow work, facing your dark side. You know, we've all got it, but we spend most of our time and energy repressing it, hiding it, denying it, neglecting it, wishing we could cut it out like a tumor or kick it down the stairs and lock it in the basement like a redheaded stepchild. But that's a part of you. And once we get it on the map, if you remember, I asked you, how are you feeling? And you're like, do you remember what you said?
Oh, I felt out of my comfort zone and nervous and scared and excited. Like it was, but you know, that feeling of the edge of the diving board. Like I know I need to jump off and be in the water. That's what I want to do. And that feeling in your stomach of like, oh my God, this feels like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's embarrassment. I mean, I was just in a relational leadership training down in Santa Barbara and realized like, if I don't bring my authenticity and share the thing that I am most terrified to share in this room, you know, we're 4 months into an 8 month training, like I'm not at my edge and it's just me that's going to suffer and nobody's going to feel connected to me because I'm withholding and I'm shut down and my heart's closed. And I shared it and I'm sweating and I couldn't even make eye contact. And I said, you know, I'm aware I'm not even making eye contact right now. And one of the leaders is a dear friend of mine from men's work 10 years ago said, okay, would you like to take a moment and look around? And of course, you know, I grounded my feet and I sat up and took a breath and said, okay. And I looked around and everybody was just serene. And he said, would you like to hear some feedback? And I said, sure. And the feedback was, I can actually feel your heart now. Hmm. I trust you more now. And I know this conceptually, but to actually be in that experience would not have happened if I hadn't shared the thing I'm most embarrassed and ashamed by, and then felt loved. Anyway, and it changed everything for me. Hmm. And so what I do that I've not seen in any other purpose work, I mean, I've seen it in proper, what we would call shadow work, but I've never seen purpose work that incorporates the shadow. And my experience is very much, you know, Joseph Campbell was you call him a philosopher, you know, he was a psychologist, he was a professor who read like all the myths from around the whole world for, you know, decades. And he combined them into a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. That it's this recurring theme, this monomyth. And he was, you know, consulting with George Lucas. It's the reason the first three Star Wars movies are so much better than the other ones is because he was consulting on those, right? The Matrix, Harry Potter, The Wizard of Oz. It's always the same story. You can look up Hero's Journey screenplay writing, and it's like the biggest thing in Hollywood, because if we don't hit all these points of, you know, starting in the ordinary world where life is mundane, descending into the underworld and facing trial after trial until we're literally facing the dragon, Lord of the Rings, right? Retrieving the Arkenstone, the gold, the elixir of life, and then bringing that back to make that contribution, it's not a full life. And so what I do is I bring people into that place of fear and shame and embarrassment and just help them find the gold in that cave with that dragon. Do you remember when we hit that point?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, that felt incredible. And I really want to underscore this. If I remember correctly, you had said like the gold is found in the shadows, is it? Or is it?
The cave, this is a quote from Joseph Campbell. The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that you seek.
Mm. And that was, so two things I'll point out for your listeners is, you know, first of all, it really is incredible when you look at the things in your life that derail you from being the person you want to be or achieving what you want to achieve. When you start to be honest around the parts of yourself that you dislike the most. And for context, Craig and I had met a couple weeks ago. We'd gone through a couple hours together, and then we revisited it today. And we revisited this portion that's essentially a couple words that describe the parts of us we dislike. And you know, we kept on going, and like the point we ended up with just felt so uncomfortable to like admit these things about myself. And by doing that, when we go full circle into the things I want to bring to the world, it's like the only way to get there is through that cave. And so it's really beautiful. And the other thing that I'll point out for listeners, and if you've heard me talk before about executive coaching and other things, I don't know what else people are doing in this world, but it's like, I don't think you can do this solo. I don't think you can, if Craig wrote a book on this, I'm sure there would be value there and you could probably get so far on your own. You can't do this in isolation. And I am the king of isolation. I love being a lone wolf. I've built my life around being able to be independent. And the way in which Craig and people like Craig can point out things and can call things and repeat things that I didn't even know I'd said. And all of these things make it possible. But I just can't imagine discovering the things that we've discovered in the last couple of weeks of working together on my own. I think you need a river guide who's not as entrenched in what's going on and can kind of add a little bit of the bird's eye view of what's going on.
Yeah, who knows the territory. I mean, think about, you know, there's always a mentor. There's Gandalf. There's Obi-Wan Kenobi. There's Morpheus, right? There's the Glenda the Good Witch, right? There's always someone guiding the hero's process. And so you're absolutely right. We can't do it alone. It's archetypally, It's just not the way that we're designed for this to go. So when you hear the call to adventure, when you're stuck in the ordinary world, when you're Harry Potter living under the stairs, when you're Luke Skywalker fixing droids in a hole in the ground in the desert, right? When you're just like, grinding away and life has lost its savor and you know there's more for you, whether you're in the military or in corporate or in an entrepreneurial gig, just not working for you. It's the scariest thing to say, what's next? And then you meet the mentor and you cross the threshold. So in Star Wars, this is when they get in the Millennium Falcon and they hit light speed. Not in Kansas anymore, right? You take the red pill, right? And so there's this experience of, okay, I'm willing to take the risk. I almost don't have a choice. Actually, the first thing is ordinary world, call to adventure, refusal of the call. Oh no. And what does Luke do? He leaves Obi-Wan Kenobi, says, nah, you're a crazy old man. He goes back and there's just a smoldering hole in the ground. There's no going back. The refusal to call, then you cross the threshold, meet your allies, and take the adventure, going through tests and trials, going deeper and deeper into until you face that dragon. And something happens in that process that liberates energy, attention, and power that is trapped inside of you. It's your light. It's that sliver of divinity. And once that's free and we're clear on what your strengths are and you can channel that gold through your strengths, that's what ignites your purpose. That's the only thing the 10% of this whole framework I actually created out of my own deep experience and going through countless iterations of self-reinvention is that is a necessary component. And I just don't see people digging deep enough when they're doing purpose work. So I think that's the one thing I'd want to leave people with is that, you know, if you're not digging into that place of shame and embarrassment, really looking at what is trapped inside of there. Most people are so uncomfortable that they back off of it. And the guide can take you just 4% beyond to find the gold hidden in there. And the person you can become as a result is astonishing. If you then walk it down the transmission, right, to the daily action steps that take you into alignment with your mission, your signature strengths, and ultimately realizing your purpose.
And I'll name for anyone in our listener base who's the same way. I really avoid having a stake in the ground of saying like, this is what I'm all about. Like, I love to keep my options open and be flexible. I don't want to like tie myself to one thing. And that's a lot of, you know, for me in this process, that was a lot of the discomfort too, is like trying to finagle out of it. And that's another area where someone gently holding your feet to the fire can be helpful. And the other piece is, I mean, honestly, Craig and I have spent 4 or 5 hours on calls doing this with me. I like everything, I wish there was a simple way to do things. I wish there was a simple book you could read. I wish there was like a simple 30-minute thing that we could just do and you'd be good. And I feel like what I've learned through this process is profound. It has and will have a very big impact on my life. And part of that is because going through a really good structure with someone who's really good at this and putting in the time, not expecting it to happen in just 10 minutes. And I know we're in the age of overnight successes and things like that, but I think that's not possible for this sort of thing.
Yeah, and there's people that crave depth and authenticity. Not everybody. And that's fine. That's, you know, we could probably look at their personality profiles and it would, you know, when we triangulate them and look at a whole bunch of them and go, depth isn't their thing. Yep. For other people, it's oxygen for us, you know, for the intuitive types in the Myers-Briggs, for certain Enneagram types, you know, there's several different personality profiles that, you know, will indicate that unless we go deep, unless we reach our edge, unless we're hitting all those, you know, deep inner fears and liberating what's stuck there since childhood. Now, I'm not a therapist. We don't go into trauma work. I would farm that out. Like, I'm more like a general practitioner that can point people in the right direction of, okay, here's now what you need to do on a regular basis. But for people that are ready to transform, who have a certain amount of self-awareness, who have a certain amount of depth already and are ready to commit to that and want that chiropractic adjustment of the soul so that they have the clarity all the way up and down the totem pole, as I like to say, so that they have the confidence that, yeah, I'm going to leave this ordinary world. I've got a guide. He's not going to leave me mid-process. You know, like the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and he doesn't just put on wings like a backpack and come out. Turns into snot. And then the imaginal cells that contain the image or the architecture of the butterfly that have always been there, that they were shut down like a pathogen when the caterpillar could hold itself together, when it loses the ability to hold its old identity together, those imaginal cells immediately take over and start restructuring the snot into the butterfly. And then the last thing is it squeezes out of a little crack in the cocoon, right? And that squeezes the water from the process, the wetness, out of the wings. So when it stands on the rock of the branch, a little bit of wind will flap them open, the sun dries them, and boom, they're flying. Right? That whole process, you can't stunt that. There's an entire arc, and someone has to hold you through that whole thing, or you'll turn into snot and your life will go to shit and you'll lose your marriage and lose your whatever, kids. I don't, you know, I've seen it all go all different ways. That's not necessary. We can gently melt you down inside of a clear container, give the opportunity to face the things that are hard, immediately get the benefit out of that, and then deploy that towards a new mission that has been living in you all the time. Because here's the most miraculous part of this: the human heart contains imaginal cells. The image of who you're becoming, who you're here to become, is already within you. And so most people don't go, wow, I had no idea. Most people go, boom, I just dropped 80% of my social conditioning and baggage that I've been carrying around thinking it was me or that I needed to behave this way. I just dumped it because I realized who I really am. And these little hunches and inklings that have been, you know, shut down inside of me under the weight of this baggage can come forward, and I can trust them and nurture them and reinvigorate them. And it's just kind of this moment of, oh, of course this is who I am. I've always known this. Why didn't I get this process in high school? Yep. Which is ultimately where I'd like it to go.
Yep. No, I love that too. And there are moments of like those insights of like looking back on my life and being like, oh yes, I see this thread. Now that we've kind of named it, I see this thread in my life. I see some of the most potent memories of my life share these attributes. But had you asked me prior to this process, like what those were, it's really hard to do. But like you said, it's not like it's this, I'm realizing a completely different person. It's more of like having that clarity of like, oh, no wonder these things were so rewarding for me in my past.
Yeah. Yeah. You dump the bad investments in ways of being that aren't serving you. And you double down on the little small voice, you know, the little seeds and inklings of who you know deep down you're born to be. And I think a lot of the processes I've seen try to think of several times in your life when you felt really alive. And it's like, okay, great. That's marginally helpful. But without like a really clear process for clearing away all the baggage and conditioning to liberate the energy to actually do something about the insights that you gain through the process, and then bringing it down the levels of abstraction to what is the very next action step. Like I was sharing with you, Tony Robbins never left the site of a meeting without taking one clear tiny action step towards the realization of the decision that was made there. So calling his assistant to say fax over the contract or book me this appointment or, you know, schedule a phone call, you know, whatever it's going to be, it's tiny, right? Like you were like, well, I need to, you know, change this website, but I can't get that done today. And I was like, can you block the time on your calendar for when you can get it done?
Yeah.
Boom, look at you, you're lit up. It's like, oh, was that easy? Like, that's all I have to do every day. Like, you still got to update the website, but if you just take that tiny step every day, your life will start to, and it's not, I don't know, law of attraction. I study that stuff, and yeah, there's absolutely something going on with, you know, what we focus on expands and all that. I believe all that. I've experienced it. It's great. But to me, it's like the tactical, practical, and neurological, neurochemical, right? This is behavioral stuff with behavioral results that result in feeling better because you put dopamine in your brain when you set a goal and take clear action toward it. It's that simple. It's not more complicated than that. Setting the goal to clarify your purpose is the thing you do when you're unclear on your purpose. Right? And just doing that gives you a little bit more energy and then you can take the next steps. But most people don't know where to go. So, right, you need a compass, an internal timing saying, yeah, this is the direction I want to head. I don't even know what direction, but I want to seek my purpose. And then you'll hit a wall and you'll refuse that call. And then something will happen. You'll realize you don't get to refuse it. Life is pushing you out of a nest. Cool. You need a guide, right? And you need a map. Compass, the map, and the mentor. Those are the three components of a transformational journey. And they're out there. They're all over the place, right? You got to find the one that is aligned for you. And you and I just happen to align. And there's typological reasons why that is. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I looked at those together. Mm-hmm. And so anybody listening to this, you know, I would say like, yeah, you can get caught up in the hype of the next big launch of somebody's marketing thing. And maybe it'll hit for you. Maybe it won't. My counsel is, get clear on what is most likely to work for you before you invest another dime in anything else that you're excited by, because that could just be your conditioning and hype marketing. You know, it's designed to get people to take action and move, but it's not designed to actually clarify if it's even right for you first. They don't tend to care. Mm-hmm. They just want your money. Spend $1,000 on a real estate investment course, take it home and never open it. Well, that's on you. I didn't make you do that. Okay, great, coach. I appreciate your confidence in me, right? For me as a coach, it's like, let's find out who you are. And then you'll naturally just catch fire and I don't have to do anything. I don't have to be an accountability coach. Right? There's none of that willpower stuff involved. I mean, there's a little bit of like, you still got to take that action. There's a little bit of pushing through resistance, but it's the tiniest amount possible that if you repeat over and over again, will get you an exponential result. I'm interested in what's going to just ignite you so that you can just go like you said, like a heat seeking missile. And yeah, maybe you're not always 100% on track, but you're generally heading sufficiently in the right direction that you can keep moving forward.
Are there any stories? I know you've worked with a lot of veterans, a lot of non-veterans. I'm just wondering if there's any story or insight that kind of stands out of the impact you've seen through this sort of work.
Wow. I mean, the longitudinal, you know, I haven't done studies. I would like to, now that my daughter is raised and I can, you know, I'm in a big midlife transition now. So I get more time and, you know, that's one of the things I'd like to do, but I just traveled almost 20,000 miles in the past 7 months. And I reconnected with a lot of previous clients that either were friends or became friends and, you know, did the work years ago when it was in its fledgling stages. And, you know, some of the things that they've told me about what, you know, tiny little things that stuck with them for the process, it just, you know, brought me to almost tears. I mean, there's one guy that I always like to tell the story. You know, he was depressed and, you know, he had some mental stuff going on. It was grim. And, but he was willing to do the work and dig deep. And came out of it with so much clarity and so much just charisma for what he was really born to do. He ended up leveraging an island off the coast of Panama from some investment banker in New York that had bought it and didn't improve it and didn't know what to do with it. And this guy, just the client, loved playing ultimate frisbee. And so he goes down there like 3-4 times a year and just plays ultimate frisbee on this beach. And he's just like, and he's got this island now and he just closed on it. He like crowdfunded it and he's going to improve it and turn it into some sort of community, you know, space where people can go to do transformational work. But I mean, just the swing of the pendulum from being almost destitute with no clarity and no direction to, you know, he met and hasn't married, but he came very close and actually realized not quite it, but for a while it was like met and married the woman of his dreams, you know, and who knows where that goes. But it was just inspiring to see, you know, and then it was another cycle of, you know, reinvention. And I just, as a friend, kind of coached him through it. And now he's back on track and he's even more excited than ever. And the things he's doing in the world, they call him the unicorn whisperer. He works with, like, you know, these high level CEOs of like exponential startups, and he's just transformed so much. So that's one of my favorite stories. But really, it's the little things. It's like, not everybody's born to do this wow, you know, amazing. But it feels amazing to each of us individually if we're doing the thing we're born to do. And so don't compare your insides to somebody else's outsides, is the bumper sticker that I like in this case. It's really about how you feel in the midst of your own flow state. You know, I don't imagine being the next Steve Jobs. I mean, there was a while when I thought that I needed to, and I, you know, what I focus on expands and all that stuff. You know what? Focus on being me. Stay present with the person I'm with. That totally puts me in flow. Now, all of a sudden, you want to bring this out to, I don't know how many people this podcast will reach, and who knows what the impact will be in the ripples and the generations, but I'm doing what I'm born to do. The rest isn't really up to me. I don't need to worry about it. I think that's the biggest transformation I've seen with my clients, and they're just happy. They're just clear, and they're not encumbered by all this baggage. And it's just it's a good life.
I love that. And particularly for our audience, I don't think I realized when I was in the military how much that hit on a purpose of contributing and giving back and these things that I think universally we as human beings need to be happy and fulfilled. And so many of the people I've interviewed, they really felt that vacuum when they left. And so I love this, sense of helping listeners really identify their own purpose. And I also love what you said too, and again, this is just my own judgment, is we live in a time where it's very easy to get sucked into comparison. It's very easy on LinkedIn or Facebook to see someone else as living the ideal life, like the absolute right way of doing things or achieving something. And like you said, like, who knows what each of our unique purposes are, but that's what's going to drive to real fulfillment, is doing the work, taking the time to uncover what uniquely lights us up, and then taking those baby steps to start to live more towards that purpose. And I notice for myself too, I can get really spun up and looking at what others are doing, and then I can come back to that place of, my screen went down there. Come back to that place of purpose and feel a lot more grounded and fulfilled and happy, regardless of what's going on around me.
Regardless of what's going on around you. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. There'll always be someone to compare yourself to, right? But what I like is compare yourself to who you were yesterday. It's like Groundhog's Day. Remember that movie? Mm-hmm. You just get a little better every day.
Yep.
Because if you can do that, I keep making this motion, your life will go exponential.
Yep. It's
astounding. And it is predictable. It is fact. It is, it's a guarantee. Mm. If you take tiny steps towards the thing that you are most, you know, confident that you're here to contribute to the world, even if you crash and burn and fail and learn, you're still able to get back up and get back in the arena, mm-hmm. and take more steps, and eventually you're going to nail it. It's astounding.
Well, I know we're at the end of our time, but I always like to leave the last question open-ended. You can either take this as, what have we not covered that you want listeners to know, or what's just one piece of wisdom you'd like to leave listeners with?
I think the main thing is find what lights you up. Find the thing. It's, you know, because purpose is an experience, right? Of, oh, this is it. This is what I was born to do. And when you're having that experience, there's no questions. There's no inner critic. There's no, the next action step is crystal clear, right? Figure out what that is as soon as you can, and then reevaluate everything in your life based on, does it support me doing this or not?
I love it. My wife, it always irks me when she says this, but she always says that, you know, it takes time to save time. And in this case, it is like, yes, who has 5 hours or whatever it takes to really be honest about your purpose? And just think of countless years that could save in choosing the wrong career or marrying the wrong person, living in the wrong location. And for me, that's often because I'm doing what I think other people want me to do or doing what some theoretical version of myself wants, rather than like, let me just be honest about what really moves me. Craig, thank you for the work that you're doing, and thank you for joining us on Beyond the Uniform.
It was such a blast, man. Thank you for having me.
Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Siri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for-purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.